I'm Steve Newborn. Welcome to Florida Matters. Life under the sometimes suffocating blanket of COVID-19 is affecting a lot of people in a lot of ways. People in the service industry and people who work and own small businesses are particularly affected. But what about those businesses that rely on admissions or the goodwill of philanthropy? Nonprofits have been hit hard by the closures associated with the pandemic. We'll talk about one in particular with Jennifer Romanecki. She's president and CEO of Marie Selby Botanical Gardens. The Sarasota nonprofit is the only botanical museum in the world devoted to the display and study of epiphytes. Those are air plants such as orchids, bromeliads, and ferns. Jennifer, welcome to Florida Matters.
Well, thanks for having me on. I'm delighted to be here virtually.
And we're delighted to virtually be here too. Are you at home?
So I actually came into the office and it remains a lonely place to be since we're not open yet.
Now, you've been closed since March 17th. Are you reopening with the governor's soft opening at 25%?
So we are actually looking at what we're calling our phase one reopening right now. And we anticipate being able to gradually reopen the outdoor spaces on both of our campuses. And we're just trying to think through all of the protocols and everything we need to do in order to provide the safest experience.
I'd imagine you have a skeleton staff of people caring for the plants there, right?
We do. And that's certainly an essential function. So we have our crew that's taking care of the world's best scientifically documented collections of orchids and bromeliads. But we do have a skeletal group that's been coming here.
Speaking of air plants, if I could use a bad metaphor, your funding has been up in the air as well, too. I've read that Selby Gardens is losing $25,000 a day. That's a lot of money. So what are you all doing to cope?
The lucky thing is going into this closure, which of course was totally unexpected, Selby Gardens was really having a record-breaking year. We were having record-breaking attendance for our exhibit, Salvador Dali, Gardens of the Mind. It's been one of our best-received exhibits ever, so we were lucky to go into the closure having done extremely well this year. So that has helped to mitigate what we're going through. In addition, the philanthropic community has been unbelievably generous and has stepped forward with private contributions to offset the losses we are experiencing daily in earned revenue. And that $25,000 a day really equates to admissions, memberships, cafe sales, retail sales. So it's been tough to be closed, but we've been lucky that we've been able to mitigate the severity of the challenge.
A lot of the smaller businesses say they basically have only a couple of months reserves before the cash flow runs out. Are you a little better situated because of the philanthropic efforts and the help from the surrounding community as well?
We really are. And it's really because, and you might have seen over the last 5 years, we've transformed to being the Living Museum, which actually was recently trademarked. And the idea is that we have changing exhibits and experiences to garner repeat visitation, because we never want people to say, oh, we've been to Selby Gardens, it's beautiful, as if they don't have a reason to come back. So since doing that, transforming to that operating model 5 years ago to now, we've diversified all of our revenue streams. Earned revenue went up 70%, led by a 55% increase in admissions and a 67% increase in membership. And so because of that, we paid down the last of Selby Gardens' debt last summer to a zero balance, which we're really proud of. And that certainly put us in a strong financial position heading into this crisis, for sure.
Despite that, you all have had a bunch of events that have been canceled, probably through at least May, I'd imagine. Tell me about some of the other events you all have had that are canceled right now.
So, you know, we did have to cancel a lot of our regular events, like typically during the run of our special exhibits, we have what we call Dali nights, where we have different performing arts groups perform and our constituency gets to enjoy the exhibit at night. We had to cancel our Family Saturdays programs, which also run in conjunction with the exhibits. We had to cancel our member concert series. So really, everyone loves to enjoy the gardens for gatherings and programs, and to suspend all of those programs was really a tough decision to make. But we're, of course, following the governor's guidelines and doing everything we can to keep our visitors and staff safe.
Not to be a doom and gloom person here, but there's a lot of talk about a possible second wave. A lot of the big pandemics in the past have had second waves come on in the fall, and there's talk of more closures coming if another epidemic hits. Are you prepared? Do you have any plans at the ready in case that's the case?
Well, I think we're being really careful with our gradual reopening. You know, we want to see how the first wave of openings goes so we can do our best to provide the best safety protocols to our visitors and staff. So I think in this environment, you have to be nimble. You have to be ready to adapt. And that's the sort of mentality that we are in.
Well, you were making some adaptation moves, if I could use that word, just as the epidemic hit and even before. Y'all are melding together with Historic Spanish Point. Tell me about the reasoning behind that and what you all, particularly at Selby Gardens, have to gain by this cooperation.
Well, so what happened is in February, which seems like a different world now, we were approached by leaders of Historic Spanish Point through the Gulf Coast Community Foundation about the idea of a possible merger. And Historic Spanish Point has had ongoing financial challenges with garnering sustainable revenue. So when I was approached, I thought about it and really realized the alignment between the two organizations was tremendous. I mean, really a natural alignment. Both are bayfront, both are natural preserves, both have similar operating models. I really looked at it as a way to enhance Selby Gardens' footprint, to not only study the air plants that we're so well known for, but really be a destination to study native Florida plants, because that campus has 5,000 years of native Florida history. I really viewed it as a great chance to expand the footprint and reach of Selby Gardens' work, and also be a win-win with providing two locations for our members. So from day one of this merger, members of both sites have access to both locations. I think it's a great way to offer more to our constituency, and they're very distinct campuses. So it's just a way to provide our constituency with more.
All right. For our listeners who might not be familiar with Spanish Point, give me a little history there. It's got a lot of history to it, not just the natural history as well, too, right?
That's right. So it's really a unique site. It's 30 acres bayfront, just under 10 miles south of Selby Gardens downtown campus. And it has 5,000 years of history on the site with active archaeological sites, with basically Native American history, as well as pioneering history, and also the dynamic history of the Palmer family and Bertha Palmer, who is so well known as a major figure in the Sarasota region for kind of having created what Sarasota has become. So there's a lot of historical elements, but then at the same time, the natural environment is incredible. And it's just a pristine, untouched area of Florida history. And I can't wait to make it more accessible to the public and to our membership as a whole.
That accessibility, are you going to be branding it as Selby Gardens?
Yeah, so it's one organization, Marie Selby Botanical Gardens, with two campuses, our downtown Sarasota campus and our historic Spanish Point campus. So it really is one organization, two campuses, and we really feel that we're stronger together, like that this is coming together. It resolves the challenges Historic Spanish Point was facing, but at the same time makes us a unified, stronger organization with diverse site offerings and programmatic opportunities. And We're exploring some really exciting initiatives like connecting both campuses by boat, which will be really fun, and lots of opportunities for joint education programs using both sites for children's education and adult education. I think the future is really exciting in spite of the challenging times that we're going through.
That's an understatement, right? You all mentioned maybe summer camps for kids. Is it too early to be talking about it for this summer?
No, it isn't. And right now we are planning to go on with our camps. And so, you know, we hope that the conditions allow us to continue to pursue that. And I think there's a lot of opportunity to get the kids out to both sites and enjoy both aspects of Selby Gardens.
Well, you mentioned this is an opportunity for you to expand. There's been a lot of talk about you expanding at your current site in Sarasota proper. There's been a little bit of controversy with the expansion plans that you all have proposed. You've come back with a scaled down plan. Give me a rundown of what you all are planning now, and then we'll get into how what's going on right now affects the funding of that.
Basically, what we did is when our master plan, the way it was proposed, was not accepted, we went through 40 hours of testimony from the public hearings and really listened and thought, rolled up our sleeves and thought, what can we do to accommodate the concerns we heard? And so I'm happy to say that our compromise master plan protects the vision of what we set out to do and accomplishes our needs, and at the same time, address the concerns of our neighbors. So, for instance, we reduced the height of the parking structure by 40% to 38.5 feet, and that was one of the biggest concerns we heard. We also changed the restaurant that was planned to be smaller and to operate within the hours of the botanical garden. And that was another concern that we heard. So in general, I think that the compromise master plan we've arrived at addresses Selby Gardens' needs at the downtown campus, but at the same time really addresses the concerns we heard. So we feel that it's a win-win for everyone, and we're hopeful that we will receive approval on this go-round.
Is it on hold right now because of the pandemic, and is it on a timetable at all?
We have resubmitted our compromise master plan to the city, and our application was deemed complete. However, public hearings in the city of Sarasota are currently on hold because of the pandemic, and we are waiting to hear when our hearings will be scheduled. We will need a public hearing with the Development Review Committee, with the Planning Board, and with the City Commission. And so we are anxiously awaiting hearing about when those dates will be scheduled or whether they can be held virtually. So as soon as we know more, we will share that.
We're talking with Jennifer Romanecki of Maurice Selby Botanical Gardens in Sarasota. Jennifer, at the beginning of the year, Selby Gardens was in the process of raising, I believe, tens of millions of dollars towards these long-term capital projects. However, of course, with the spread of COVID-19, it's cast an uncertainty on that, along with everything else in life right now. What is the status of the funding for that? How has this been affected by the pandemic?
So basically, with the master plan for the downtown campus, we set out to raise $92 million. $72 million of that is for capital construction costs, and $20 million is for endowment for long-term sustainability. So the biggest portion of the project is the first phase, with an estimated price tag of $42.5 million for construction. And I'm thrilled to sit here and say that we have raised $35 million, which is more than 80% of what is needed for phase one. And so luckily, we had secured that funding before the pandemic hit, and it's restricted solely to the purpose of phase one construction. So we feel that there'd be nothing better for the local economy than to get that project started and to generate jobs and economic impact, since, you know, we're sitting on these commitments that are ready to be injected into the community.
Jennifer, that leads me to my next question. What is your big picture view of here? I mean, you come from the New York art scene. I believe you worked at the Metropolitan Museum. I mean, these huge institutions that are always growing and tapping unlimited sources of funds up there, right? However, you come down to Sarasota, it's a little smaller. People might not share your vision of bigness, growth. They like little Selby. Well, they like little Selby gardens. So, you know, you can walk into it and it's got all these beautiful plants. They want to keep that kind of, you know, that low profile feel there. How does your vision meld with the vision of some people? How do you get it together?
So to correct you, I didn't work at the Metropolitan Museum. I started out at the Guggenheim Museum, and I ended up at the Metropolitan Opera. So I was like the Met, the Met Opera, and then the New York Botanical Garden, where I stayed for 15 years. And I was recruited for this position to be president and CEO of Selby Gardens. I'd never been to Selby, although I'd heard so much about it. And I'd never been to the west coast of Florida. And really, when I came and interviewed and saw the site, I knew immediately the potential of the site. And I think that my quote unquote big vision really embraces the strengths of what is there. One of Selby Gardens' downtown campus's biggest strengths is its intimacy of scale. It's actually a great contrast to the New York Botanical Gardens, which is 250 acres. Selby Gardens' downtown campus is 15 acres, but it is a mighty 15 acres with the most biodiverse accounting of plants per acre in the world. So it's a rich, dense garden, and its intimacy is what makes it so great. And so I think the master plan really is about embracing what is so great about the campus, and at the same time, safeguarding our collections for hurricane resiliency and providing the infrastructure we need for our visitors. And so it really is no more than shoring up what is so amazing about the site.
And I'd imagine that the acquisition of Historic Spanish Point is going to give you an outlet for expansion in some capacity as well?
Well, that's right. And again, the vision there is the same in the sense of embracing what is so amazing about the site. The site is amazing, and it really has been overlooked as such a tremendous gem for the community. So our goal is to make it more accessible to the community and make more people aware of it. But it's not about filling it up with buildings. It's about embracing what is so amazing about the site and the native nature that it has there. And it's just a chance for everyone to learn about native plants and native Florida in a spectacular waterfront setting.
Let's cast a little wider net here. Sarasota has really embraced the arts for a long time. It's a major artistic community. A lot of donors, a lot of well-heeled donors. Talk a little bit about the larger fundraising picture there. How has this been affected by the pandemic? Have people come out and said, I really want to help in your time of need, or are they kind of sitting on their pockets wondering what's going to happen to them right now?
I think this community, the Sarasota community, is unbelievably generous and philanthropic, and they have come forward to support the nonprofits and the arts community in their time of need. I've seen it. The response to our Selby Gardens requests have been incredible. With the Virginia Toulmin Foundation came forward with a matching grant to help us, which was already matched. The Steinwachs Family Foundation came forward with a matching challenge for our membership program, which has been matched. And then last week, you may have heard about our community's giving challenge, which is presented by the Community Foundation of Sarasota County with strength and support from the Patterson Foundation. And it's incredible. This is a day of giving where the entire community is asked to support the nonprofit sector. And the Giving Challenge broke all records, raising more than $18 million in 24 hours for something like 700 nonprofit organizations. So it's an incredible community and a very generous community. And because of that, you know, that's helping to safeguard the important work of the nonprofit sector in the arts and culture arena, for sure.
How vital is that to your bottom line at Selby Gardens? Could you really survive without that kind of support?
No, it is critical to our bottom line. We are a privately owned nonprofit organization, and we rely heavily on the private sector. And as support from the government sector becomes tougher and tougher to garner, I think generally the nonprofit sector has become more and more reliant on the private sector. And it's been amazing to see the private sector step forward in the midst of this unprecedented crisis with the pandemic, for sure.
Do you think this might be, I don't know, maybe the harbinger of a new paradigm in the way fundraising takes place for nonprofits such as yours? More reliance on philanthropy and private donations and maybe less on government institutions?
Absolutely. And I think with Selby Gardens' capital fundraising effort, we went into it relying heavily on the private sector. And I think other organizations around the country are really going to be changing their funding mix, really for survival. So at the end of the day, nonprofits are about being able to sustain their entities and about survival. And the private sector support is critical to that picture, for sure.
And that's probably one of the spurs for your planned expansion, right? To get maybe more people in, you know, more paying visitors, restaurant income, that sort of thing, to have kind of a more steady flow too. Is that what you're looking at for the long-term bottom line?
Absolutely. And I think every nonprofit needs to look at diversifying their revenue streams. The more that an institution or organization can earn, the more pressure that takes off of the private fundraising. And then the private fundraising dollars go further toward accomplishing the organization's mission. So I think that's been a key tenet to how we've been operating and to how Selby Gardens was able to retire its debt, was really from that. And I think more and more organizations are going to need to look at that as we move past, hopefully, past this pandemic period.
Jennifer, I'm curious as to how much time CEOs like you of nonprofits spend, you know, having to fundraise, having to glad hand, schmooze, go to dinners, you know, hit up swank parties. I'm sure that's a tough part of your job, right? How much of your time is spent doing that as opposed to actually running Selby Gardens? And would you rather be spending time there rather than having to go out there and hustle for dollars?
So I think there's been a real change in nonprofit leadership. Probably following the 2008 recession, it became very clear that the CEO's top priority has to be balancing the budget and being able to raise the funds in order to enable the mission. And so I think that my background has focused on fundraising. And so I think it's that skill set that became critical to my CEO-ship. And I just think it's a trend overall, because any nonprofit has programmatic experts. And so I have brilliant experts, PhD botanists, horticulturists that work for me. And what I need to do is be able to secure the resources so that they can accomplish the mission. So I think that's been a shift generally in the nonprofit sector overall, that the CEO's responsibility has to be balancing the budget and securing the funds. Absolutely.
You're sitting in your office right now. I'd imagine it's a very empty place. You could probably hear cats meowing outside. Now, how are you doing? How are you personally handling all this? You know, it must be kind of tough on you knowing that there's so much more you can be doing right now, but you're hamstrung like the rest of us by this, right?
It is. It's challenging. You know, I mean, I feel grateful that my family's health is well and connecting with my close friends. Everyone is doing well. And I think the most challenging part about the pandemic is that we want the gardens to be a place of refuge for people, and we haven't been able to be open. And so I think that's been the hardest part. And so we're hopeful that as the reopening of Florida progresses, that we will soon be able to gradually reopen our outdoor sites at both our campuses. because we feel there could be no better place for people to be practicing social distancing than at either our downtown campus or our historic Spanish Point campus. And that's definitely been the most challenging, is to not provide the respite for the public. So hopefully we'll be able to do that soon.
What's the first thing you're going to do after you open? Do you have any plans, or are you just taking it day by day right now?
Taking it day by day, but can't wait. I mean, I think that reopening and having the public back, we will not be taking it for granted. I think that our team in general is really excited to welcome everyone back. Our team's communicating continuously via Zoom and calls and all of that. And I think we're anxious to welcome everyone back.
Did you put a lot of effort into Giving Tuesday as well? And how many people do you have to do that sort of thing?
I think generally Selby Gardens now has been communicating with the community about the need for philanthropic support. And so I think overall the response has been amazing, and these initiatives are really helpful to all nonprofit organizations.
All right, Jennifer, I'm just going to wrap it up here. Anything else you'd like to tell the public that we haven't got through already?
Just that we look forward to welcoming everyone back to our downtown campus and to historic Spanish Point. And we will be communicating on our website at selby.org about our reopening. And in the meantime, every day at 2 p.m., we are releasing digital content on our social media channels in order to bring Selby Gardens to you. So stay tuned so that you can virtually enjoy the gardens until that day that we can reopen.
All right, Jennifer Romanecki, thank you for bringing Selby Gardens to us as well. We appreciate it. Jennifer Romanecki is president and CEO of Marie Selby Botanical Gardens in Sarasota. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for today's show. You can read more about how nonprofits and other businesses are faring in the age of coronavirus on our website, wusfnews.org. I am Steve Newborn. Thanks for listening to Florida Matters.